1 Kings chapter 17. Last week we began this chapter, and I do plan on finishing it tonight. I don't know that it will take me the whole time to do that, but I want to review just a moment or two what is happening. When we ended 1 Kings chapter number 16, we ended in a very difficult time for the nation of Israel. We have approached a time where the kingdom has been divided. There's no more is there unity in the nation. We know that the division is consequence to them turning their back on the Lord. We know that this is what God said would happen if they would do that. They would know His blessing if they obeyed Him. They would know the consequence if they disobeyed. At the end of chapter 16, not only is it a difficult time for the nation as a whole, but it is a very, very dark time for the northern kingdom. If you remember, the southern kingdom for the past 41 years or so has experienced rest, and they've not been perfect, but they have had a desire to walk with the Lord in a what I would call at least a closer way, and a desire there for than the northern kingdoms. The northern kingdoms have had six kings, and they've all done evil. When you get to verse number 33 of chapter 16, you find that the northern tribes of Israel have got themselves in a position now with a leader who has done more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And one of the ways that he has done that was leading the nation to false worship. And if you look at verse number 31 of chapter 16, he married a woman he shouldn't have married. Her name is Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal. So we know this guy was a Baal worshiper, king of the Zidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshiped him. Now we understand that we learned last week who Baal was, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. So when we get done with chapter 16, it's a difficult time in the nation as a whole. They're divided. It is a horrific, dark time in the northern kingdom as they have disobeyed God. Now, one thing about God is even though the nation of Israel turned their back on Him, He never turned His back on them. And I know that. I may turn sometimes in disobedience to the Lord, and I may sometimes turn away in disgust, but I'm glad He never turns away from me. Said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so in chapter 17, in verse number 1, God sends a man of God to confront Ahab. His name is Elijah. He explodes onto the Bible scene. And really and truthfully, the way he explodes off the scene is almost as quick. We'll look at that in his life as he goes up into heaven in a chariot of fire and a whirlwind and all of that. But he comes and he confronts the king. He's bold. He's aggressive. He has a message from the Lord. And God sends him. And we know that God sends him specifically to confront not only the king, but to expose Baal. Baal being a false god, Baal being an inept god, Baal being not a real god, Baal being a deceit and a lie. And so Ahab has taken the nation and Ahab has said, Baal is our god. And so God sends a man whose very name means the Lord is my God. So Elijah comes in and he confronts Ahab. Ahab has the position, Baal is my God. Elijah's position is, the Lord is my God. And then, not only is there confrontation in his very name, but there's confrontation in the message that he has. Now, Baal was worshipped and respected for the ideology of fertility. He was considered to be the god of fertility, both humanly and when it came to nature. So one of the ways they worshipped him was with gross, sinful immorality, both on a heterosexual level and on a homosexual level. And so we know that. We've already been down that road. But another way that he was worshipped was on a crop level. And so Baal was given all of the glory for the fruitfulness of the land and the productivity of the crops. And so really and truthfully, we know that that came from God, but they had turned their worship. And so what God did was God sent Elijah, the Lord is my God, and God sent him to Ahab, and Ahab was worshiping Baal, and they thought Baal was responsible for the crop, therefore Baal was responsible for the rain and for all that went with it. And so Elijah came in and he said, now in verse number 1, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And I took you back into the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 11, where God promised the nation of Israel, verses 13 to 15, that in the land, if they would obey him, he would always send them the early rain and the latter rain. And they needed both rains to be able to have productive crops. Early rains came in November or October, November. Latter rains came in March and April. And so Elijah walks in as the man of God representing the true God and says, I challenge your God, there will be no more rain until I say. Then, as quick as Elijah is there, God whisks him away. And we next time we read about him in verse number 2, the word of the Lord is coming to him. And in verse number 3, he's on his way to a brook, a little water source. Verse number 3, the brook Cherith. All right? And so I want to stop right here and I want to kind of set the stage. Really and truthfully, you read in verse number 1 of chapter 17, these years. Do you see those words? Okay, one of you do. So why don't the rest of you look at it? Shall there be no dew nor rain these years? Do you see that? All right. Just follow me and see if I read, if my reading would kind of make sense to you. See if there's just kind of a logical progression. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now, was that reading logical and in order? Yes. Does anybody know what verse I read as the second verse? 18:1. So you can read 17:1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And you can go immediately to chapter 18, verse number 1, and say, and it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Really, if God wanted to, he could have taken verse number 1 of 17 and made verse number 1 of 18 verse number 2 and just continued with his thought process there. But God didn't do that. God took verses 2 of chapter 17 all the way to verse number 24. And where in verse number 1 he's talking about years, look if you would at verse number 15 of chapter 17. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many, what's that word? Days. Come over, if you would please, to verse number 6 of chapter 17. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Morning and evening representing day. When Elijah gets to the widow of Zarephath, God is dealing with days. So I need you to understand that 17:1, Elijah says, for years there won't be rain. 18:1, it's after 3 years. Years, 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 years. But all of the rest of chapter 17 is about the days between the years. And I believe that God has done this purposefully. I believe that God wanted to take verses 2 to 24, and He wants to show in those verses how good and how great is our God. And by the way, we serve the good and great God. I think He wants you to see that He's all powerful. He can command the raven. He can command the widow. He wants you to understand that He's got power when there is water and when there's not water. He's got power to hide and keep and protect. He's got power to move and he's tender and he's got authority. And he just wants to expose how great He is. But I think He also wants to teach us that He cares about the days of our lives. And I started meditating on that thought a little bit about how much God's people mistakenly forget about the day, today. Go, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Hang with me. I will get you at the end here, and you will leave and say, I was blessed. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. No, that's not true. Verse number 34. Take, therefore, no thought for the, what's that word, class? Morrow, or tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, I have found, and I am finding, that most of God's people are so concerned about tomorrow that they never learn to enjoy the day. And they don't understand the importance of every single day. By the way, every day is a gift of God. And we're talking about rain. And whenever you tell the story of Elijah, you're going to say, he stopped the rain for 3 years. And we use the word years and years and years. But God was specific, and He set aside all of chapter 17, and He said, but don't forget that I'm God during the day. I'm God during the day. I got news for you. God is concerned about your day. He's concerned about today. And He wants you to be concerned about today. And so what does God do in the day? And He's going to take verses 2 all the way to verse 24, and He's going to show how that He cares for His man, His servant, every single day. And He's going to show how that He not only cares for the man of God, but how He cares for the widow woman every single day. And yes, there is this thought of years of the rain, but there's this intimate focus upon the day. First thing God does is God comes to Elijah, and in verse number 2, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto him. You find that same phrase in verse number 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him. You know, I thank God that the word of the Lord is available in our lives all the time. And I thank God that God will be very careful to make sure that the Word of God comes to us. He's given us His Word. And so the Word of God comes to Elijah, and the Word says in verse number 3, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the, what class? Ravens. The ravens to feed thee there? I imagine if you and I were Elijah, we would have said, you got to be kidding me. And he comes in verse number 8, and the word of the Lord comes again to Elijah saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And I would imagine if we were Elijah, we would have said, great. A bird an unclean bird, and a widow woman. And you think, what possibly could a bird ever bring me to eat? And I wouldn't even want to touch it if the bird brought it. And a widow woman in a famine has no provision. She probably is not cared for. And I can just imagine what Elijah is thinking. Okay, you're going to have a raven take care of me, and you're going to have a woman that doesn't have much wealth to take care of me. I wonder what you would have done in that moment, what I would have done in that moment. Elijah knew something. Elijah knew that man doesn't live, that we're not to live according to man's wealth, but he knew that we lived according to God's word. Pastor, I could have never, ever, 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 would I have ever done what Elijah did. By the way, I forgot to show you what Elijah did. Look, if you would, at verse number 5. Verse number 2 says, the word came to him and told him to go, get thee hence. Verse number 3. Verse number 5 says, so he, what class? Went and did. Verse number 8 says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse 9, arise. And verse number 10 says, so he arose. So the word of God comes to Elijah two times, tells him to go to two impossible places, and shows him that, tells him, I'm going to care for you out of these two impossible situations. And both times Elijah immediately followed the word of God without question and without hesitation. Now you and I look at that and we say, well, of course, he's Elijah. He's going to obey God. It amazes me how we get in our mindset that it's just easy for certain folks to believe the Lord because of the position they're in. Let me tell you something. All of us had to be redeemed. If you think I'm made of any special mud, you need to sit down with my wife. And Elijah, the word of God came to him, and he rose up and went. Pastor, how does he do that? Well, I think he explained it to us in verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel, say that word, liveth, before whom I stand. Elijah believed and understood that his God is alive. I'm wondering if the churches of our world believe that our God is alive anymore. You see, Elijah had such a relationship with the Lord and spent such time with him and had such a belief and an understanding and a practicality that the Lord was the Lord and alive every single day. That relationship was living. That relationship was vibrant. That relationship was as driving and as peaceful and as that you could ever imagine. Matter of fact, that relationship and that belief was so powerful that it took that man to stand in front of the king and to voice the message that God had given to him. And then because Elijah in that relationship believed in the living God and knew him to be alive and understood his provision, then Elijah was able to follow him wherever God commanded him. And Elijah was under the impression that he could trust God. He was understanding that God could provide for him. And if God said, I'm going to use birds to do it, then you're going to use birds to do it. If you're going to use a widow woman to do it, then you're going to use a widow woman to do it. But God, I know you're alive and I know your word is true. And he demonstrates the peace of this in verse number 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. To Elijah, that was a good day. To Elijah, he got by that brook, and he got there, and those birds started landing like drones and dropping off that food. And I think Elijah said, man, this is a good day. Good job, Lord. Man, I bless you. I just want to praise you for what you're doing. You cared for me today, and I got plenty of water here today. Plenty of water? Plenty of water. Look at verse number 7. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook did what, class? Dried up. Because there had been no rain in the land. I touched a little bit on this last week, but I wanted to slow down and I wanted to grab this from you and bring you back to this thought. Because God is showing us that, yes, He is in control of the years, but He is absolutely available to us in the days. And Elijah said, I'm going to trust my day to the living God, and I'm going to submit my day to the Word of God. And that's going to be enough for me. And so for a while, he's got some good days. But then all of a sudden, that water starts to dry up. Now, Elijah's no fool. Elijah's not a blind man. Elijah can understand that the water is drying up. Human nature would begin to think there's not enough water for not enough water for tomorrow. Wow, man, last week that water was higher. You know, I'm getting old. I don't need to bend over this much. I'm bending over further to get this water. You know, I'm looking at that, and I don't necessarily know that there's going to be enough water there tomorrow for me to drink. He's human. He has human thoughts. It's interesting what he did. If you look at verse number 7, the Bible says that the brook did dry up because there had been no rain in the land. What you never read in verse number 7 is Elijah went looking for more water. Matter of fact, you don't even read Elijah's name in verse number 8. Whose name do you read in that? And the word of the Lord. So who also knew the water had dried up? The Lord did. Don't lose contextual thinking with me. Elijah said, I know He lives, and I stand under His authority. And Elijah knew in that relationship so well that even when there wasn't any water, he absolutely was not going to move or be fearful or go on his own. He knew that he was going to wait upon the Lord. And in our lives, we get so concerned about what is going to happen tomorrow. And we look at today and we think, man, it's just not going to make it. But God is also interested in our day. And who brought him to the brook? God did. Who made the water? And so God knew the water had dried up. And God knew that on that day, he was going to have to move him. And so the day didn't get past the Lord. By the way, God knows every bill you have to pay today. God knows every decision you're going to face in the day. God knows every fear you have in the day. God knows how much provision He's given you for that day. God knows how much ability He's given you. God knows the need of that. And we get so excited that there's just not enough for today. I got to go help myself. And God says, whoa, 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 whoa. I got you. By the way, I'm glad God's got me. And so God comes to him, and God says, get up, you're going to Zarephath. Now, Zarephath was 110 miles to the northeast. Matter of fact, Zarephath was dangerous because it was outside the northern boundary of the northern Israel. Zarephath was just miles from Zidon. Jezebel was from Zidon. Get up, man. You're going to go be cared for by a widow woman. You talk about out of the frying pan and into the... Look at verse number 10. So he arose And he went to Zarephath. This is so filled with awesome application. I'll never get it all. I'll read it here. And when he came to the gate of the city, verse number 10, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of the sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. I don't know that she was a Christian at this time, but she recognized him. I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in the cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and she did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of oil wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, let me set this up and make my way to my conclusion. I think God purposely set aside these two events to show us the days of Elijah, the days during this famine and the days of this where there was no rain. And God is purposely declaring how great he is. And he's purposely declaring that I'm able to care for you during the days. Every day is important to me. You're under my providence. You're under my watchful eye. You're under my providing hand. I have not forgot about you. I know when the water's going to dry up. I know when they're going to turn the electric on. I know when that relationship is going to end. I know when that illness is going to come. I know when that problem is going to show up. I know when that promotion is coming. I know when you're going to be fired. I understand every part of your day. And I'm interested in it. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to lift up my hand and say, thank you, God, for being interested in me and in my day. Now, I got to move you over here, Elijah. I'm going to move you to Zarephath. I'm going to do this, but I'm going to still take care of you. And in the process of taking care of you, I'm also going to take care of the widow woman and her family these days. And this is a different lesson, but the only reason that widow woman was even cared for in her days was because she was giving to the man of God and obedient to the word of God. And because Elijah was obedient and because the woman was obedient, the woman was being blessed every day of her life through her obedience. And so Elijah comes in and he meets her and he confronts her and he says, now, I want you to go make me a little cake first. And the promise is that God will take care of you every day until the rain comes and there'll be meal and there'll be this and so on. And so this widow woman is faced with a choice. What would have happened if she would have been disobedient? Disobedient, Pastor? What do you mean disobedient? He was just remarking to her that maybe you should go. And I don't really read that as a command there. Let's see. Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand, verse number 11. He's requesting that. I mean, couldn't she have just done what she wanted to do? Why would you use the word disobedient? I use it very carefully because of, look at verse number 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have, what's that word? Commanded a widow woman. Somehow God had already made it where that widow woman understood what she was supposed to do. She was under direct order. She may not have known who Elijah was. She may not have known what it was going to be. But somehow God had commanded her that when the man of God showed up on that day you were to obey me and be a blessing to him. And matter of fact, what you do on that day determines whether you live or whether you die. Now I want to say something as your pastor. Spiritually, what we do in the days of our lives does determine whether we live or we die. We get so concerned about the future and we look and we see, well, there's not enough water. That we get so engrossed that we forget about being obedient in the day. And all God is looking at is the day. Do what I want you to do now. Obey me today. Don't worry about tomorrow. I've got tomorrow. I will bless you on your obedience today. And I tell people, why are you thinking all the way down there? Why don't you just do what you know to do today? Why don't you obey God today? Today, take it one day at a time. God, I don't know how you're going to do that, but I'm not cursing you today. I don't know how you're going to do that, but I'm going to be spirit-filled today. I don't know how you're going to do that, but I'm going to honor you today. I'm going to honor you every day. I'm going to get up and I'm going to read. I'm going to pray. I'm going to submit. I'm going to obey. I'm not going to disobey you in the days because I'm afraid of the future. And God looks at you and he says, what are you doing? Why won't you obey me today? I've got you today. But God, it doesn't look like it's enough. Listen, circumstances will never be enough, but Jesus is always enough. Do not underestimate the importance of obedient living every day. That woman obeyed the Lord that day. And she lived, man. She lived. If she would have said, I only got enough. There's not enough. It's not enough. So we're going to eat this little bit. And then tomorrow we're going to die. All consumed about tomorrow. And Elijah says, well, if you obey today, you'll live. And you and I, we get to these points in our lives and we just think we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. We're not going to survive. It's not going to happen. So we're just going to die. And we've stopped trusting the Lord, obeying the Lord every day. And God says, no, 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 no. Obedience comes before the blessing. And you cannot underestimate the need to obey God every day. And God's people said, and God's showing, I can take care of you. Well, Pastor, food's not my problem. Look at me. We got plenty to eat. And I know, but, you know, big things happen during the days. Big things happen during the day. And sometimes you just got to look out, and sometimes you just got to plan, and sometimes you just got to, you know, the Bible says the Lord helps them to help themselves. The Bible doesn't say that. Pastor, I don't know if God is able to help me in my day. Look, if you would, at verse number 17. And it came to pass after these things, after this woman obeyed God in that day, there was another day. And in the midst of this day, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And verse number 17 says, his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. He died. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sins to remembrance and to slay my son? Now there came a day when this woman's boy got sick and he died. And the thought process of this woman was, God is judging me because of my past sin. And somehow Elijah has exposed my past sin to God. And now God has killed my boy. That's her thought process. And here, if you pick up now in verse number 19. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and he laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and he said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. That's the first time there's been a resurrection of the dead in the Bible right here. Verse 23, and Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, what's that next word? See, thy son liveth. Now I want you to know something. There is nothing that can happen to us in our lives on any certain day that our God is not able to handle. And we get this thought process that, Pastor, God can handle the older years of my life, and God can handle the easy years of my life, but I'm in a day right now that I've just got to do it myself. How many have ever been there? And the end of that is not good. And we think, I just got to do it myself. Just got to do it myself. And God says, if you want to do it yourself, you're not going to know my power. You're not going to know my working in that. Matter of fact, when he said to the woman here, the woman comes down after she took the child. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Here's what I want you to know. This book is true every day of our lives. Do not underestimate your days. Stop thinking so much about tomorrow. Be right today. Lord, I don't even know. I'm not even promised tomorrow. I've got today. So I'm going to honor you today. I'm going to obey you today. I'm going to go where you tell me today. If it doesn't make sense, I'm going. If I see the problem, the water's in it, I'm still trusting. I'm not moving today. Today, I am under you. You take care of tomorrow. And by the way, if you've ever found him faithful in tomorrow, say amen. He's more than faithful. Well, sacrifice your day worried about tomorrow. That's what God said. He said, yeah, there'll be 3 years here, but he took out about 23 verses to let us see that he could care for Elijah all the days of his life. Shall we pray?